creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John O'Lobster. Legends Podcast is cracking open the cinematic vault and bringing you a whole month of cons, capers, and car chases. Whether you're a grifter, a hacker, a freelance spy, a bank robber, or a wheelman, you'll find the big score right here on our podcast. This is Aug Heist. And this week we're talking about Baby Driver from 2017. This film marked the first big screen outing for director Edgar Wright after he wrapped up his Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy. And Baby Driver tells the story of the titular reluctant wheelman Baby, who is actually a grown-up. The odd title didn't confuse audiences, however, as the summer release turned out to be Wright's biggest box office success ever. Showcasing thrilling car chases, choreographed to a peppy pop rock soundtrack, Baby Driver scored with moviegoers, but will it score with the Three Flavors of podcast host as we judge the final installment of Aug Heist 2018? Holy shit, pass the Tylenol.
B-A-B-Y, baby.
Baby. So, fun story. My copy editing on my intro was pretty bad, but this has been an amazing month. And I know that we're spilled into September
a little bit. Take you seven extra days. I told
Listen,
you.
Listen, this has been so much fun. And I feel like the movies have gotten progressively, if not better, certainly more engaging. And like, I felt like with each iteration of this, we've kind of upped our game. And we've, and this I think is really interesting, each film of the last three has kind of deconstructed the heist movie a little bit. You had Ronan that was doing the heist movie, the MacGuffin, but kind of like on the move. The target was always moving, so it was almost like a shell game, and that's kind of how they approached it. Inside Man is a heist in reverse, basically, and they start with what you think is the heist, and then it actually wraps up a week later, and you find out that while their objective was wealth, there was another angle to it as well that was as important. And this movie kind of deconstructs it even further by portraying someone who's not actively involved in the heist. He's the getaway driver and still somewhat kind of like reluctant, like he's not fully in the crime world. But you get to see them put together the crew, plan the heist, execute the heist, and deal with the fallout several times throughout the movie. And then just the way that this film brings everything together and the character development that they do is so great. And I love Edgar Wright, you guys. He is one of my favorite directors. What a way to end this month.
This is definitely the first Cody Fingers, you know, mainstream movie that really killed it for him, I think. I don't know. I'll be honest. The first time I saw this movie, I liked it, and I had fun with the soundtrack and whatnot and the choreography, but it didn't, I don't know, it didn't hit me as hard as it did this second rewatch. The second watch, I was like, okay, I'm having way too much fun with this movie now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably where you were at the first watch. I'm like, okay, this movie has been really hyped, and it's a movie. It's well choreographed. The editing of the car chase is great. The third act is bullshit, but the first two are pretty good.
The third act is shit. Okay.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you might come around in a month or two if you watch it again. But I don't know. Upon second watch, I had a lot more fun with it. I knew where everything was going, so I wasn't watching for that. I was enjoying everything else.
There's something about Edgar Wright's movies with me, in that at first blush, because they're so densely layered and every visual cue, every soundtrack sting, every little bit of dialogue is so carefully chosen and deliberately layered in, it takes me a good two or three watches with an Edgar Wright movie to fully appreciate its impact. And there's still stuff that I will watch. I will sit down and watch Hot Fuzz or The World's End and catch things. Shaun of the Dead, I think, is one of them.
My fave.
It's so, for the budget and production values, so much care is taken in that film to not only foreshadow everything, but break it down. There's a great, I'm also a big fan of The World's End. There's a great shot, a side-by-side comparison of the flashback at the beginning of the movie where they're recounting the night, which totally foreshadows the entire plot of the movie. And then Hot Fuzz, which I think most kind of squarely fits in our Legends podcast wheelhouse because it's an action cop movie that's also a spoof of action cop movies. That is such an excellent film that I gotta give it to Edgar Wright. He is perhaps one of my favorite filmmakers working today. And I hope that Baby Driver's financial success makes studios look at him and say, okay, we're going to give him the shot. You know what? We're going to trust him. He's good.
It really would have been fun to see his Ant-Man.
I tell you what, I think this is his response to not doing Ant-Man. And you can see a little bit of Ant-Man and the Wasp in this movie, which I think is great. Like, there are some fun car chases and some pop music, and it, I got to say that the way these movies have kind of informed each other, and let's not forget, Edgar Wright did a comic book movie. He did Scott Pilgrim versus the World. So, you know, again, I think that's an underrated classic as well. But again, Baby Driver for a heist movie, for fitting within what we're talking here, is perfect.
Yeah, that's the thing. I thought I was an Edgar Wright fan, but I didn't really like World's End. I think Hot Fuzz is overrated. The Scott Pilgrim is too long, as not as well adapted as I would have wanted to be. What else has he done? This and Shaun of the Dead, which is his best movie of all.
Yes,
time.
This is his fifth film.
So
you can go back and watch Spaced if you want to see him early and raw, and yeah.
I love Spaced, but at Stevie, it's a totally different art.
No, I understand.
Yeah. So I don't think I'm a big fan of Edgar Wright. I mean, in this movie, I had a big problem with most of the characters that I didn't like at all. Don't tell me you like these bad guy kind of character.
I like
Seriously, what they were doing? They were kissing each other.
They liked each other. Who gives a shit? No matter how crazy they were in love. I didn't like bats. I didn't like the Punisher. But I mean, I will agree with you though.
The fact that he shows up with Austin Powers masks and he's like, they're, you know, it's Mike Myers. No, this was, you know, the guy from Halloween. These are Halloween masks. No, the guy with the knife. Oh, you mean Jason?
Yeah, no, I did that. I do like that, but I will kind of agree with Wing on one thing. This movie is, well, he didn't say this, but I will say this movie is fun, but I will agree with you, Wing, that to me, Hot Fuzz is kind of overrated. I've watched it a few times. I don't love it. World's End, I've only seen once or twice, and it didn't really hit me. To me, it's Shaun of the Dead, always, first and foremost. And this is still fun. This is one of those movies that you can throw on, and this is like the epitome of a popcorn, like action flick. Except it's the heist, and you don't even have to pay much attention to this. It's just in the background with music and car chases, and I don't know. I had fun with it, but this is by far my second favorite of his movies.
Yeah, in that scale, I would agree. I would agree that this is better than Scott Pilgrim. It's better edited. His script is more precise in some ways. It knows exactly where it wants to go. And that's fine. I'm not saying that this movie is bad. I'm just saying this is maybe a case of I saw it a year later when everybody was like, oh, this is so good. This is so good. Okay, it's a fun action movie. I don't think that goes beyond that. That's the thing.
I think the
music is the best thing. And right now, it seems that if you put good music, like real music and not a score, in a film, you score more points. They just had to put a great score in Thor and Guardians of the Galaxy, and everybody went with it, and it's working. So,
yeah, I will say, I think with this movie, it was really, like, the time to go see it was when it was in the theaters in summer 2017, because it kind of hit at the right time. There had been a string of box office flops last summer, and, you know, we can The Mummy and, you know, whatever else.
This on last summer's scale, yes, this is a breath of fresh air after last summer.
Like, yeah, exactly. So I think this hit, I want to say late July or maybe early August, and this kind of was the movie to go see because it was fun, it was enjoyable, it didn't have 19 movies of backstory that you had to understand. It wasn't a comic book adaptation, so it was something different. And again, it was fun. And you came out of the movie humming the songs or singing the songs. Like, and these aren't like necessarily that many recognizable songs. I think probably the most well-known song in here is Tequila. And
Queen, man. But,
what's that?
I'm not good at songs, name, and stuff like that, but the Queen song I recognize right away.
Yeah, okay, Brighton Rock, yeah. But again, to come out of this movie really having a fun experience, I think seeing it on the big screen in particular was a lot of fun. It was kind of like Mad Max Fury Road. When that movie came out, everyone was like, no, you have to see it on the big screen. Maybe not quite as much, but it still had, I think, a great impact there. But again, I got it on Blu-ray, watched it this weekend, and had a good time with it as well. I think the Kevin Spacey thing is kind of too bad because this hit, this is kind of probably the last big role he's going to be known for.
Yeah, so that and I was like, ew.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I mean, they kind of make his character the most likable when in reality you want to root for anyone but him, I think.
That's one of my big problems in the movie. When he has a stern at the start of the third act, I don't believe it. This character does not do that. Does not.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah,
yeah. That got me out completely. And then I started looking at how the character were reacting, and I was like, no. At this point, they're just making the third act a third act. That's it. They're just trying to create reason to have action at the end, which was too bad because, well, the two characters you kind of like were well-built, which are the old man and baby, the black old man. So I was hoping a third act to explore his girlfriend, which in the end, she's just there to be there.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that there was, perhaps, if there is a criticism of the film, I think it could have built to a more engaging, emotionally resonant climax. But I think the fact that there's something about Baby, the character, that totally sucks Deborah in, and she's willing to, you know, evade the cops and run people over and, you know, do whatever it takes to escape with him, I think that's okay.
The first time I watched this, I was like, wait a minute, he wouldn't have an iPod. I mean, they didn't have iPods back when he was a kid. Oh, yes, they fuck, would. Never mind.
It's his mom's.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whose it was. It still was like, I did the math and I'm like, oh, son of a bitch. Yeah. Yeah, or that big bulky one, that was still, you know what, 2004?
I love my classic iPod. I'm holding it right now, my 5th-gen iPod. Oh, and it still works.
I used to like resell them and buy the new model, so I can't do that.
Clearly, it's going to still work. You've seen Book of Eli, right?
Right. That's how you have to do it. But I love that he just has a bunch of them, and there's something too about this. Like it's kind of the Walkman with Guardians of the Galaxy, right? Like this is now vintage tech, and it's retro and kitschy to have an iPod, and. Oh my God. You
it's
know,
retro
if
and kitschy to have an iPod. We're so old.
Yeah, we are. We are definitely old. But the iPod is interesting because he doesn't have a cell phone except for the burner phone that Doc gives him. So his iPod is his musical gateway to the world. But at the same time, it's analog in comparison to what we have now with smartphones and things like that.
Oh,
like,
Pandora he's not, and whatever.
Right. There's no texting in this movie. There's no social media or anything like that, which I actually kind of enjoy. Like, there's something delightfully retro and charming about the way this movie styles itself, and I honestly think it'll hold up maybe a little bit better because it's not gimmicky. with the exception of the glowing sunglasses.
I'm going to agree with that.
He's a getaway driver, so I mean, it's not like he's going to be checking his texts, you know what I mean? So I'm glad, you're saying, it's nice that they didn't add that in, or carpet bomb. You know, he's flying down the road and you hear some stupid text message, a notification. Could be annoying, take you out of the movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I love the, just how well choreographed this movie is in terms of what I'm calling the musical numbers, even though they're car chases, like, or gunfights or whatever.
I'd like to know how much of that was, of each one was CGI and what was actual stunt driving.
I think they did a lot of stunt driving.
Yeah, I have a feeling if it's Edgar Wright, and Georgia is pretty generous with the tax rebates to film there, so I imagine they filmed a lot and shut down a lot of streets. I'm sure they did,
but I'd like to know.
The CGI, I can basically... it's just the cars that are coming their ways. You know when he's on the highway and going like against traffic and turning around?
Come on, Ronan did it with real cars.
Yeah, but see, I'll bet you Baby Driver did it with some real cars too, because if you look at, even when they are going in oncoming traffic, it's all about the spacing. And it's like perfect Pac-Man or Frogger spacing so that they can do it.
So good.
But it's so cheap to do in CGI. Cars are easy to make.
I got
to
say, though, this movie is a lot of fun. You know, whatever your gripe with it plot-wise, if you can sit back and enjoy the action, it rewards you with some good stuff. I think the showdown in the parking garage at the end, that was kind of a disappointment for me. But I think in terms of, I mean, really the emotional climax is the scene on the bridge. And I think that's really well shot.
You know what? We should keep going with like Bullet and the French Connection, and we would have some of the
I totally agree. I totally agree. And again, this kind of fits nicely as, even though it is theoretically in the same genre as a Fast and the Furious, it's kind of nice counter-programming to that, because those movies have become so huge and unwieldy. I kind of feel like this gets back to the original Fast and the Furious just a little bit.
You remember when they were stealing VHS?
Yes.
VCR. Oh my God, they started with VCR. Now they're going after submarines with car, you know?
We're old. Who did you like in the cast here? I mean, I think everyone is well cast for the character that they play. Was there anyone you enjoyed or didn't enjoy?
Actually, big thing, but I really didn't like Jamie Foxx. Anybody else in that role, I would have preferred. I really, really didn't like the way you came across. You're talking about Fast and Furious? What's the guy, the annoying guy in the Fast and Furious?
The first one?
Tyrese,
yeah, here you go. I would have seen Tyrese more a little bit than that.
Okay.
I like John Hamm, though.
He was pretty good, yep.
Future Batman John Hamm.
God, I would love that. Don't say things like this.
Now, he was good. I do enjoy John Bernthal, Punisher, showing up. If you don't see me again, I'm dead. So I guess he's dead.
Well,
right?
They said, though, Doc never uses the same crew twice, but I've been rolling with this kid for a while.
Yep. Just the survivors.
He's not
people
slow.
That don't
he's
leave
a,
there.
Not slow. He's a devil behind the wheel.
Devil behind the wheel. That was another part that I had kind of a hard time with. Like, okay, he records all of these conversations. That just seems a little... He's asking for trouble, right?
Yeah, like, but he's... okay, it does sound nuts, but he's a kid who doesn't... He just got dragged into this life, and he's been made to drive for a few years. So, I mean, until he gets caught, he may just be too naive to think about it, right?
The thing is that's how they present you the character, but mid-movie, the character changed, and all of a sudden he understands all that shit. He should be a little bit like... not understanding all that stuff. It should be from another world, not getting that stuff.
Well, I think he gets an education pretty quick.
I didn't like the whole thing with the tape, and now they listen to it and they're like, oh, that's it? Yeah. That's it. That was kind of an extra beat that he needed. character development instead of that. They wanted to show me John Hamm turning a little bit, but that's pretty much the only thing that scene accomplished. So I didn't like that.
All right, since we are talking about Og heist, how would you rate the actual heist portions of the movie?
Well, again, it's not. I don't know. Is the
heist?
Yeah. Is the does the
do getaway we, movie?
Smash and grab and getaway.
Yeah. Do we count the heist starting and stopping as soon as they're, you know, before they get like right when they get out of the car and back in the car? Is that the start stop point, or is it the whole thing? Because it's really just a getaway movie. It's really just a driver movie.
And the worst thing about this movie is that the best getaway is the first one. They never get that eye.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the first one is the best. The rest of them are trying to tell you something about the characters, but on the other hand, there's nothing better than he told me to move, so I moved.
That's a good point.
Just ramming
when
him full
he
of rebar.
Him with, with the rebar.
He told me to move, so I moved.
Oh, he's sitting there fucking... Oh, he had to restart the song over. I like that, too, because it is so choreographed. With most of those heavy beats are in the song.
Right, yeah.
But you see, that's something else that's super cool they introduce, and then they show you that he's kind of dancing and remembering everything to the music. And then it becomes just a soundtrack that they're cutting or using, but... If he has to improvise, give me some David Glass. Give me something fucked up to listen to at that point when he has to improvise and he has to see what is doing and not going through like a playlist.
Or when he just sat there and tried to find the right radio station.
Here you go.
With a song that he liked.
He needed the right song. I needed a little bit more of that like in his like quirky side than just like as soon as shit hit the fan, no, I'm kind of normal. It's no problem. And now I'm an action hero.
Do you think that they needed a hex song, as he said? Like they need a bad song to put the bad juju on?
Yep. Yep. I think that was about right. That's in the version of the script that understands itself. And that's at some point, Baby is not in that version anymore. For some weird reason, I don't know why they stopped writing it the same way. But I'm sure if we get a sequel, they're going to get back to that. So... I'm telling you, the movie is good, and then they drop the ball for some weird reason. The action is super. I guess the action in this movie is A1. But I don't think... the same thing happened to me with John Wick. John Wick, after a year, was like, damn.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that these movies are worth revisiting. I think Edgar Wright is a director that layers stuff in pretty well. And again, I watched this last summer when it came out in theaters and then just rewatched it now and thought it held up.
Yeah, well, I thought it got better. So, damn, it's something. It's a movie.
It is a movie. It is a movie. And it is Og Heist.
Should we rate this pig for our final movie of Og Heist? Do we have any more notes?
And then we're going to rank all of them, I think.
Oh, God. I don't. Okay.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Wing for Baby Driver. Oh, God, where are my notes? So, Wing for Baby Driver, are you going legendary?
The big score.
Legend of its time.
Vaulting ambition.
Cult legend.
The long con.
Awesome.
Clean getaway.
Entertaining.
Nice pull.
Mabel.
Con job.
Forgettable.
Sticky fingers.
Abysmal.
Cheap fraud.
Spring Breakers, Highlander, D&D.
Need for Speed.
Hey, I watched that. That wasn't that bad.
With a side of nostalgia, guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears.
With a side of Grand Theft Auto, Hotlanta.
Hotlanta.
I'm going to give this a nice pull. That was entertaining. It was a fun movie. I've seen it now. I'm good. I had a good time. A little bit long, but I had a good time. So, yeah, entertaining. Beef.
Oh, that was pretty weak, Wing.
I don't know. I think I had fun watching this movie.
Just promise me you'll watch it again in like a year. You'll like it better. I guarantee
it. Sure.
All right.
Probably.
All right. I got to give this a solid awesome clean getaway for Aug Heist. It isn't really a heist movie. It's like Lobster said, it's more smashing and grabbing. But the getaways, the driving is, to me, there's just as much driving, if not more, in this than Ronin, but it doesn't feel as drawn out and dragged out. I used to like Ronin a lot.
Car chases were too long. Yeah, right.
I mean, and I liked them the first couple times I saw them, but now that I've seen that movie a few times, it's just like, okay, it's dragging it out. This is way more compact. It's more flashy. It shows you, you know, how they're actually doing things as opposed to just blowing through fruit carts and getting away. The soundtrack is phenomenal. The way they choreograph stuff is fun. And the story, for being just a simple smash and grab and not having a lot of characters, kind of works well. There's good dialogue. And it's, like I said, it is a popcorn action flick with a lot of chases. Lobster.
Oh boy, I'm going to give this clean getaway. I don't think there's any better movie to give a clean getaway than Baby Driver. I think it's awesome. I have said multiple times on multiple episodes of this podcast that I am an Edgar Wright aficionado, and I think this fits squarely within the type of movie that he is capable of delivering. If anything, I think this one is maybe a little bit of a step down from the Three Flavors Cornetto movies. I find those to be richly layered and full of character moments and hold up to watching again and again. I don't know if Baby Driver quite achieves that, but it was definitely a successful movie for him. It engaged audiences and overcame what I think is a terrible name for a movie. Because I expected that there would be an infant behind the wheel.
Right, like Boss Baby or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look who's driving now.
Oh, my God.
But again, I think this holds up really well. Definitely fits within Aug Heist. Like I said, it is not a straight heist movie, but like a couple other films that we've talked about, even going all the way back to The Sting, it is deconstructing the heist movie a little bit and telling it from a different angle that makes it a little bit more interesting. That's my take. Guys, we have done 5 movies for Aug Heist. We have done The Sting, Sneakers, Ronin, Inside Man, and Baby Driver. Wing, what's your favorite?
Inside Man. I really, really like Inside Man.
I gotta follow Wing. Inside Man, but the Sneakers is most nostalgic to me.
Okay. I'm going to go Ronin for my favorite, and I just bought that Blu-ray that I talked about last week.
Let me know how the transfer is, because I own the DVD, and if it's that good, I do enjoy the movie enough to give them more money.
Yep, I plan to watch it very soon.
For me, it'd probably have to go Inside Man, Sneakers, Baby Driver, Ronin, okay. The Sting.
Okay, I will go Ronin, Inside Man, Baby Driver, Sting, Sneakers at the bottom. I thought that felt a little dated.
God, that's difficult. I'm going to go Inside Man, The Sting, Sneakers. I'm missing one.
You need Baby Driver and Ronin.
Ronin and Baby Driver at the end.
Okay, all right.
Baby Driver is a good movie. It's not an iced movie, so it's going down really fast.
So will we return to Aug Heist next summer?
I fucking hope so. I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
I think it was great. I think this is good territory to be in for our podcast, and I like that we were able to look at every movie really was in a different genre, because I mean, this is a romantic comedy, right? Like, this is meet cute and stuff is happening. We had a spy movie. We had a straight up police procedural CSI type thing. We had a con.
I want you to promise us one thing, though, Lobster.
Yes.
As a cast and a listenership for the 20 people that listen, you right. can't get stuck, though, in completely just Aug Heist. You have to have August be available for other puns, just in case we ever want to switch it up as well. Okay. I'm not saying we're going to get away from Aug Heist. I'm just saying something else may be better we haven't thought of yet.
Well, if we didn't have Legends of Halloween coming up, we could do August. We could do
not more reason to do a horror movie.
we could do all tornado, hurricane, and wind related disaster movies and do August.
Oh dear God.
See, I need you when you're like doing stuff in the classroom, I need you to like write these down.
All right, fair enough. Last word on Baby Driver.
Baby. No, I'm not going to sing.
Tempo.
Bell Bottoms. That's the best song. Beef, what time is it?
Bourbon time.
What?
Drink it down, my friend. It is news time.
What has happened this week?
Well, it's Labor Day. We're just getting past the four-day weekend here in the States. So Labor Day is a holiday typically marking the end of summer, but I think we'll give it one more week to come back to our summer movie predictions because I didn't add up all the numbers yet. So interestingly enough, Crazy Rich Asians brought in. you can't call them that, dude. That's not cool.
Stereotypical. It's not racist. Leave me alone.
Brought in more Crazy Riches with the biggest Labor Day box office take in over a decade.
What was the last one? Do you know? The one a decade ago.
If we're going back that far, I don't know.
You just read somewhere it was over a decade.
Yeah, I just read. I could try to figure it out.
No, keep reading. I'll try.
I think it might have been the Halloween remake that they released.
Really?
For some reason, yeah, it did well for some reason. But I could be wrong.
Because it's Halloween.
I could stand to stand corrected. Also, The Meg followed up in number two again. Mission Impossible Fallout rose up a spot to settle at number three. Operation Finale Searching, and then finishing off the chart in 12th place was Kin, which is a sci-fi movie.
Oh, I heard that shit. If you want to watch that, look up the 15-minute short movie that it was based on and enjoy that.
Bagman. It's called Bagman.
Pixar's Incredibles.
Bagman, I saw that. That was good.
Pixar's Incredibles 2 became the ninth film ever to top $600 million at the domestic box office.
Woohoo!
Yeah, Incredibles 2 did very well. I mean, there were some big successes this summer, and I count The Meg among them. So
you're a douche, and you're not wrong. What has it made so far?
Let me click on that link for you
No,
no. Do you want I'm domestic? Scrolling here. Domestic, $123 million.
Oh my God!
You want to go worldwide?
Yeah, I see
how
what
about
it is.
Almost half a billion $467 million. Yeah, boy.
God, you're horrible with that.
So anyway, this has been a summer for the box office. I think next week I'll go through and tabulate all the totals to see who had the closest to the actual final total.
I'm sure you did, dude.
I'm so listen, out. So
right.
If you guys just want to write it off now, I guess we can.
No,
do
no.
That
I'll
too.
Let you do the work just so you can prove you won.
But for the last time, Aug Heist news. This one is perhaps the best one that we could end on. Alec Baldwin pulled out of the Joker movie after being on the Joker movie for only 2 days.
I don't.
Yep,
what
that was fast.
Happened?
Internet. I'm sure. It got announced. The internet came and it was like, "Oh, screw this! I'm not doing that."
I don't think the guy who regularly impersonates Donald Trump on SNL is afraid of internet trolls. So there's got to be something else. Was he put off? Did he think he signed up for the other Joker movie, the one with Robert De Niro? Like, what happened?
Isn't that the one he signed up for?
The same, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, the other Joker movie is with
Harley
Quinn.
Thought he signed up for the one that doesn't have Robert De Niro.
He really wanted to be with what's his name from Suicide Squad? Leto, Jared Leto.
Jared Leto, yeah.
Maybe.
I don't know if we'll ever know. It just didn't. They said it didn't work out with scheduling, which I kind of feel like they'll just do it whenever.
It's Thomas Wayne. He needs like a third of a day to shoot an alley scene and maybe a couple other scenes, and he's out.
You don't know that.
True, you're right. Don't yell at me. Jeez, wow, Tone.
You don't know that.
You're right, Tone.
You don't know. You don't know. But anyway, this is him running away with whatever headlines. He grabbed the headlines, he appeared, and then like Batman, when we turned around, he was gone.
Stop doing that.
Yeah, it's so annoying. First Man, the Neil Armstrong Let's Land on the Moon movie.
It's like they put Russia in all the fucking pictures, I swear.
From Damien Chazelle. Generates early Oscar buzz, but also some people are mad because they won't get to see them actually plant the flag in the moon. They just kind of show it in the background and establish that it's there. Guys, this is the biggest non-story for, I think, anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are we talking about it?
Because people can have stupid opinions about things and it becomes news.
Okay.
Are you upset that we don't get to see the American flag planted on the moon as a centerpiece of this film?
As long as I see Stanley Kubrick in that movie shooting all that from the studio in Arizona, no problem.
Yeah, the back lot.
Yeah, exactly. As long as I see that, the rest, I don't care.
I think if you take what Neil Armstrong said, which was one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, he didn't say, America, fuck yeah!
Like, well, supposedly
said,
they
mankind.
They focused on like his back looking back at Earth when he was planting said flag. So they didn't zoom in on it. They focused at him looking back at mankind,
right,
on Earth.
That's a freaking good idea.
Yeah.
Actually.
Oh, fuck America.
Yeah,
you know what
America,
else is a
I'm
good
Canadian.
Idea? Because America, let's make a big screen movie out of your favorite 80s musical.
No.
Cats.
No. Let's. What?
Memories.
Can we go back at making a movie about the fake moon landing? That would be more interesting. Michael Moore,
come on. Have you seen Moonwalkers?
No. Is that
okay. Moonraker? Yeah, I saw Moonraker.
Moonwalkers. Oh. We'll have to put that one on the list. Cats is coming to the big screen.
I might own that. No, wait, sorry. Skinwalkers.
Christmas, I think it's on Netflix. Christmas 2019 to take on Star Wars Episode 9 and Death on the Nile. I'm going to talk about Death on the Nile in a second. But what do you guys think about a Cats musical movie?
Oh, why?
This is 15 years too late.
I think
it's
probably
20 years
20,
too late. Yeah,
yeah, 20 years too late.
You're nicer than me.
15, yeah, it was,
15 years,
it was
you would have been
big,
cashing in on the hope that people still wanted it.
Right. I mean, to be honest, it debuted in 1987, so I think...
Fuck,
yeah,
20 years too late, yeah.
Yeah, 25 years ago, it would have been a good play.
I just remember leotards.
Yes, lots of leotards.
Yeah, people still see the Beauty and the Beast, so...
So Death on the Nile, not to be in denial about this, I recently watched the Murder on the Orient Express.
And?
From last year.
Yeah, is it good?
The new one, it's on HBO Go, or HBO if you subscribe to that, whatever.
Is it good enough to make a murder month around it or something?
It is fantastic. I would heartily recommend it, even if you know the story. It is worth checking out.
Wait a minute. You said fantastic.
Yeah, you said
fantastic.
I think it's
fantastic.
You can't take it back.
Wow, okay.
I think it's fantastic, especially if you are, if you're familiar with it or even if you're not. It's a good film. It is well made. Kenneth Branagh owns the role. It is very well cast. And while I don't know if we could do a whole month around it, we could definitely put it on the schedule for variety.
I'm sure we can make a whole month around like murder mystery movies that we want to see. Come on.
Murder. Don't all the movies we watch have murder in them somehow?
Yeah,
pretty
murder
much.
Mystery is something different. You know what I mean.
It's true. It's very true. Speaking of people murdering things, Henry Cavill is coming to Netflix to star what? In The Witcher.
I don't even understand.
Well,
why? I don't know. Because I don't know what The Witcher is.
They're giving him a bunch of money to do a video game adaptation, so it's nope. going to suck.
Wrong. They're giving him a bunch of money to be in an 8-episode TV show based on a very popular book series on which there are based a video game series. So they're going to be going back to the original source material of the books.
To the well.
Back to the well. To develop this series. Now, you're right. It is a video game series, and I am sure that will come into it
January.
Somehow.
January.
But the sequel to Assassin's Creed.
Technically, it's not a video game adaptation. It is a book series. So, Henry Cavill, of course, got his start in prestige television with The Tudors.
Yep.
So, we'll see if this is perhaps more suited to him. I would say that probably his best film role has been Mission Impossible. So,
oh, shit, I mean, now I really gotta go see it.
Have we done the 6 Mission Impossible? Have we done that?
We have not done all of the Mission Impossible.
That would be great.
Well, there's a whole again, 2 months.
Again, I do think that the role that he plays in Mission Impossible, I can see why they made him keep the mustache versus give it up to play Superman. It's worth it.
One last thing before trailer dump. Ozark. If you aren't watching Ozark and you have Netflix, you need to. Season 2 just dropped a few days ago, and I mainlined 9 of the 10 episodes because I got really sleepy and I had to be into work at 4:30 this morning. So I had to go to bed at 10:30 last night. But do this. Watch this. Jason Bateman. A bunch of other good people. It is, I think, Breaking Bad crossed with Justified. Because it's, you know, Missouri, it's hillbillies, it's, I don't know, it's so good and so messed up. And yes, and he's a producer or something. So, good stuff.
So, I didn't put this in news, but I just remembered. Speaking of Justified, the guy who plays Dewey Crow, okay?
Yes.
You know who I'm talking about. He is playing Charles Manson in season 2.
He's going to be perfect for it.
Season 2 of Mindhunter, which is also on Netflix.
Isn't he the guy that's been cast in the Tarantino movie to play
and
Charles Manson?
And he's been cast to play Charles Manson in the Tarantino movie.
And he's doing Mindhunter with David Fincher.
David Fincher, this guy
has a career now. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He has a career playing Charles Manson. So I just wanted to throw that in. I don't know if any of you are Justified fans.
Mindhunter is in the 80s.
But Dewey Crow, come on. Like, the greatest character.
Yeah, but Mindhunter's in the 80s, and the Tarantino thing is during the murder.
In the 60s. It's in the 60s,
so he's playing the same character in 2 different decades.
2 different timelines.
Wasn't he in, Lost 2?
Oh, he might have been. Who played Dewey Crow? What's the actor's name?
No, Lost 2 was someone else. There was a...
Oh, I know who you're thinking of, but yeah, it is a different guy.
God, now I got to watch Justify all over again. God damn it.
All right, so Justified, the actor's name is Damon Harriman. And who played, Lost cast?
It wasn't him. I don't know.
No, I know. It was another guy.
Oh, well.
That's all right, but good story, everybody. Yeah, that is great.
Different argument for a different time. I'll cut the silence there.
This is Legends Podcast Google Shit.
Yeah, what's the guy's name? He was like a scientist or something and Lost. Always wore a skinny tie.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
He was a crow, wasn't he?
No, I can't remember his name. I don't think he was a crow.
He was the one with the limp. Who had the limp?
Oh, holy fuck. You might be right.
Who had the limp?
God damn it.
Who had the limp, Lobster?
I don't know who had the limp.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Kevin Spacey?
No. In Justified.
Crow.
Raylan took him out at the knees
Brothers,
at a baseball game or something.
Okay, the Crow family.
We can have a tree. Oh, I love your due diligence.
Right. Was it Danny? Nope. Was it Daryl? Nope. That's Michael Rapaport. Was it Dilly? Dilly Crow? Nope.
Was he not a crow? Was he a Crowder? Oh, he must have been a Crowder then.
Maybe he was a Crowder.
Yeah, he must have been a Crowder for sure.
All right, Lost. Season 4 cast. I think it was in like season 4.
Yeah, it was one of the... It was probably 4 on 4 and 5.
All right. The actor's name... Jeremy Davis.
Yes, Jeremy Davis, yes. Long, scruffy hair.
Okay, Wikipedia.
His name's...
He played Daniel Faraday on the show. Yep. And my God, filmography, television, Justified, 20 episodes as Dickie Bennett.
Dickie Bennett, fuck. God, they all run together.
How were we not recording for that? That was amazing.
I still am, actually.
Okay, good.
Trailer dump. The favorite?
Yes.
The favorite?
The favorite from Yorgos Lanthimos. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm a big Yorgos Lanthimos fan. From what film do I love by Yorgos Lanthimos?
I don't know.
Wing?
I don't know that name.
Yorgos.
The Lobster.
Oh, yeah. Well, I never got to watch that freaking thing. Yeah, this is a cursed movie for us.
Yeah,
I watched it like 3 times, but Wing's never present for the casting.
Yeah, no, it's a cursed movie. I'm not even trying to watch it again anymore.
But that's from the same guy.
From the director of The Lobster, Killing of a Sacred Deer, and Dogtooth comes The Favorite, which looks amazing. Did you watch the trailer?
No, yeah.
For
that's
this?
The way that looks weird. Okay.
It looks hilarious.
Who's the queen?
Olivia Colman.
What do I know her from?
Broadchurch,
yes.
Probably.
Yes, Broadchurch. Love her in Broadchurch. And it's what, Emma Stone as well?
Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz.
I'm a fan. I will... scarily check this out.
I think it looks fantastic. I think it's gotten some early Oscar buzz as well, which is kind of fun. We'll see what happens. We're kind of like getting into that period where things are coming out at film festivals and people are saying, it will definitely be nominated.
TIFF is this weekend.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. The Predator R-rated final trailer. This thing comes out in like 2 weeks.
I'm so ready. My lady friend and I are going on a dinner date probably next weekend.
In the list because we're probably going to do the same thing.
All right.
The pre-date horror.
Well, maybe the post-dater.
I'm going to have to practice in front of the mirror being like, pre-date, no.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
This next one, I think we're alone now.
There doesn't seem to be anyone around. This looks awesome.
The first trailer or two I saw, I was very unsure of, but this looks beautifully haunting and, I'm in post-apocalyptic beautifulness.
Is it The Stand? Is it Last Man on Earth? Is it I Am Legend? I don't know. It's got Peter Dinklage in it, so I'm down.
I'm not shying away from this. I might actually even pay to go see it.
So I think We're Alone Now looks good. I don't know if it's a see in the theater.
Do we know when it
type
is?
Movie. It comes out relatively soon, but do you think it could like be a Quiet Place where people are like, oh, just from the trailer, this looks like something that'll be fun?
But Quiet Place had super huge buzz.
True.
Very true. This comes out in 2 weeks as well. Actually, 10 days from recording. Same day as Predators.
Yeah, but did Quiet Place buzz start like when the movie got out?
I think the trailers got people interested in it.
Okay.
The trailers got me interested in it. I just didn't know it was going to be that good.
Okay. Because there's a lot of movies these days that the buzz could just create. Like, Get Out was one of those. Right. Like, did it first, okay, first weekend, but it just kept going and going and going. And you're like, oh, dear God.
It's like Crazy Rich Asians. It just won't stop. Won't stop.
Freaking Meg.
All right. Talk to us about Trench 11, Beef. You mentioned this last week. So talk us through what this trailer is. What are we looking at?
Okay. I'm glad I just rewatched it again. 1940 something or other, the Nazis are, or maybe I think it was, is this World War One? I don't know. Either way,
it is World War One. I think it's trench warfare. 1918. Yeah.
So the Germans were 11 miles behind their line, I believe it was. They started building a bunker and trenches, and they, you know, clearly, why would you do that behind the line? And there's reports that it's, you know, up to 100 feet deep and miles of tunnels and blah, 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 blah. And so they send, you know, some crack team down, and they have 3 hours to go in and investigate and steal the German secrets. Well, clearly it's, you know, hospitals underground and weird worm things coming out of people's noses and mouths, and it's a zombie
spaghetti
flick. Yeah,
it's mom's spaghetti,
super pale spaghetti. It's what's the show we talked about before?
The strain.
It's the strain worms, but they're pale and albino. Yeah, this is going to be the summer or whatnot, the fall of creepy zombie.
We have Overlord, right? Yep. Speaking of Get Out, or is that J.J. Abrams? Or
yes.
Somebody's involved in that we know.
But yeah, so that's another Nazi zombie or German zombie type movie.
German zombie. We've got Dead Snow. We've got Iron Sky.
Boy, oh, these are stuff out these there. Are going to be two corresponding...
you could almost do a whole theme month surrounding...
the Germans!
We have to do sprockets, too.
Oh my God. So yeah, Trench 11.
Yeah, it looks good. So I think this is a pretty good week for trailers. All of these have me intrigued.
I'm not going to argue with you there, sir.
Okay. So this unfortunately concludes Aug Heist, but what do we have to look forward to coming up in the future?
All the Legends of Halloween, and you mentioned Chronovember, which I am really excited for again. I think that was the first time you busted out a theme month on us.
Certainly a pun.
Yes, yes, yes.
Pun aligned, yeah.
We need to find Chronovember movies. Oh my God.
No, yeah. I think we still time have travel. A bunch on
well,
the list.
You still have time, and you could also travel back in time and suggest some.
Timeline Looper, Primer, Frequently Asked Questions About Time Travel, Predestination. I mean, there's things on there. We can throw more at it. I'm just saying.
We can definitely come up with a couple more. Primer, I mean, I would love to have like Bill and Ted in there just for fun.
Yeah, because I was about to say we did
all those. I think
Primer. Did we did Predestination? I think we did that too.
Or
Pandorum,
we did that. That's time travel. I don't think we did Timeline, but still, there's plenty of time movies we can get to for that fun month.
Definitely.
I don't think
definitely.
We did Timeline. I worked on Timeline.
Bragger.
That was in Montreal in the days. Yeah.
All right, we'll talk about that one. But what do we have a little bit closer to hand?
Why you gotta worry about my hands?
No, that's not the right song.
Oh no, Creed. That's right. Next week we have Creed.
Oh, we're going back to our regularly scheduled programming and coming out swinging with Creed, which just got a sequel coming soon, right?
Yes.
I mean, we've already seen a trailer for it, so
can't wait.
Nice.
I think it was on. I think Creed was on TV the other day when I was at the barber shop. And I kind of, like, I recognized what it was, but then kind of had to tune out what was happening because I didn't want to
get spoiled.
Be spoiled about the end, whether or not he wins his final fight.
I don't want to know. Neither have I.
I have not.
I know you love it. I know you used to love the shit out of it, so I want to see where you fall on it because you're weird sometimes.
I watched
stuff.
It last week, and then while I watched the schedule today, I was like, oh, I think that's done, or I can watch it again. Yeah. It's one of the movies that's in my regular rotation.
Weirdo. This has been episode 387 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, yay, Creed.
I'm John D. saying, well, now I'm going to go watch The Last Jedi. That's also in the rotation.
I'm John O. Lobster saying, but will he plant the flag in his Apollo Creed?
Ta, ta, ta.
I'm confused. Again. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.